All right. I want to greet everybody today. And we're going to finish up our series today on more. That's the word for the year for me, and I hope you take that on as your own if you like. You know, yesterday, it's kind of weird weather we've been having, isn't it? We was out here yesterday kind of cleaning and doing some things, and all of a sudden it started rain. Of course, we knew the rain was coming. But then we went outside, and there was a big pond down the parking lot. You know, so as a pastor, sometimes you have to put on many hats. So I put on my civil engineer hat yesterday. I went home and got a shovel and, you know, dug a trench, you know, down through the snowdrift. Because the snowdrift, because we've had a lot of snow, it was down there blocking the flow of water. And, you know, sometimes we get stuff in our life that blocks the flow, don't we? You just got to dig through a little bit. So, amen. If you're looking up a scripture, you look at 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9 and 10. And we're going to wrap this up today. This has been a fun series for me. I've enjoyed it. I hope you have too. You know, we're talking about Jabez. His name was just popped in there. Like I mentioned before, he wasn't tied to any lineage like the other guys, you know. And then his mom gave him the name Jabez, which means pain. And how many parents probably would probably put Jabez, at least in the middle name of some of your kids, you know what I'm saying? You know, there's a couple of them that goes like that. But, you know, like I mentioned, Jabez had a rough start. But what we see is he was a great finisher. See, a lot of times we, you know, have a rough start in life, but we can turn our life around. And we do that by when we put our trust in the Lord. You know, no matter what life has dealt you, you know, starting out or in the messy middle, you know, there's the messy middle sometimes where it seems like it's, you know, always some craziness going on. But then also, you know, we have that finish, and I believe we need to finish strong. Now, something about Jabez, he prayed a big, bold prayer that only God can answer. And I think sometimes we need to do that. We need to pray those kind of prayers. And we need to be able to get, you know, and we do that as we be able to push past, you know, sometimes those fears that we have in life. And we get over in the faith, you know, and get away from that fear. And then we tap into the miracle-working God, which we all serve. Amen? Okay. Now, this message today, for the most part, is going to be fun. Amen? You know, but the Lord woke me up the other morning, and He gave me a word for the body of Christ, and I'm going to share that at the end. So I kind of equate this message. How many's ever petted a cat? I think we all probably have. I mean, you know, I like cats. I mean, I don't really want one in the house too bad because I don't like cat boxes, you know what I'm saying? But I do like to pet cats. You know, I love it when they start to purr. Oh, it just feels like home, you know? But then you pet their fur the wrong way, what happens? You get the claw, don't you? Sometimes they get... You know, so the first part of this message is going to be purring, and the last part you might, not all of you, just a few. But, you know, my job as a pastor, you know, sometimes the word brings, you know, great edification. Sometimes it brings correction. I believe the body of Christ is needing some correction right now. Now, week one, we looked at the idea or the concept of more blessing. I believe everybody wants to be blessed. We should. You know, and we don't get blessed just so that we can be blessed. We want to be blessed so we can be a blessing. And that is what Jabez, you know, I believe wanted to do. Then we talked about more influence in his life. You know, we as Christians need to grab a larger market share of influence in this, in our culture and in the world. And we looked at the seven mountains. So you can go back and those things are on the website and you can find those and listen to them. And then last week, we looked at more presence. I don't believe anybody here would probably say they got too much of God in their life. You know, I believe we need more of His presence in our life. And the reason why we need that is so we can handle some of that other stuff. You know, the influence and the blessing and things like that. And today we're going to look at protection, because everybody needs protection, and we're going to break into this a little bit. Like I mentioned, our launch scripture is found in 1 Corinthians. I kind of want to go New Testament, but 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9 and 10. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, because I bore him with pain. Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my border, and your hand might be with me, that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. And then it says here, God granted him what he requested. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the word of God and the anointing that's on it. I thank you, Lord, for a special stirring in each of our hearts. Lord, that we want to tap into more of you and what you have for us living in these last days. Lord, I thank you that you've called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, Lord, and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. Lord, I bind up the devil in any way, shape, or form that he wants to hinder, bring disturbance, or steal the word out of our hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so the first point I would like to look at today is Jabez's request. And he asked God that God would keep him from harm, okay? And what I see from this is a preventative prayer. And I believe as Christians, we need to pray some preventative prayers in our life. Most people, not all, but quite a few people, wait until they get in serious, deep trouble before they start praying to God. You know, and then they got to pray themselves out. But I think, you know, it's wisdom because, you know, if we wait till we're in a problem, then we get into trouble, because I believe that wisdom prays ahead. Wisdom prays ahead for what we may encounter. Like I always said, we can see to the corner, but God can see around the corner. And God is the one that knows what's coming, you know, that's coming our way and things like that. So we need to be able to pray ahead. And I believe, you know, that's what Jabez was doing, you know, keeping this bad stuff from me, God. And I pray over my family every day. You know, I pray before I go on a trip in a car. You know, I just believe it's good to pray for those sort of things, you know, and just believe God. Because if we wait till the problem, then we're kind of in trouble. Then also, the idea it keeps us from sin. How many knows here that not everybody's perfect? And when you look in the mirror, you got to say that too. Not everybody's perfect. Right? You know, a lot of times we start to, you know, get into trouble because we think we're all that, but we're really not all that all the time. You know, just ask your spouse or somebody that's close to you, and they will fill you in for free. Amen? But we want to pray that God will keep us from, God will help keep us from sin. You know, the Lord's Prayer, you know, in the New Testament, it says, Lord, lead us not into temptation. You know, asking God, Lord, you know the traps that are ahead of me. You know the snares that the enemy has set before me. You know, we can pick that. Now, I picture a minefield. Has anybody ever watched somebody go through a minefield? You know, on some of those old war movies and things like that, they put these mines, they bury them, you can't tell where they're at until you step on one. Now God knows where the minefield is. So we need to have our steps ordered of the Lord, amen? We need to ask him for guidance. You know, we need to ask God to help us to finagle through some of those things in life, you know, that a lot of other people are getting in trouble with. And that brings me, you know, to the idea of sins of commission and omission. Now, the sins of commission is what we do. You know, we do things, don't we? Sometimes we do stupid things. Sometimes we say stupid things. Sometimes we hurt people we love. You know, all those things kind of come in there. And those things that we need to repent of. I mean, be quick to repent. You know, do not ever justify your actions when we do something wrong. You know, the idea of what it means to be the bigger man or the bigger woman. You know, sometimes it's hard, isn't it? But see, we can be the bigger man or the bigger woman because we have the bigger God. Amen? You ought to write that down, somebody. Because that's what we need to do. We need to tap into him sometimes instead of just taking everything so personal. And then also the idea of omission. Has anybody maybe never done something that maybe they were supposed to do? You know, I think we all have, haven't we? So we need to, you know, repent of those things and ask God to come in our life. Maybe we're supposed to go and help somebody and we put it off or say something to somebody and we just didn't want to do it. You know, that's still sin, and that sin is still out there, and that's why, you know, thank God for the blood of Jesus. You know, we can deal with this stuff real quick. You know, we don't have to let that stuff hang around our neck all the rest of our life and always, you know, whispering in our ear saying you're just not good enough. Because you didn't repent and do things like that. Just be quick to repent. I mean, that's the best way to go. Also, the idea here I think, is the idea of sin of pride. And I want to go into that in just a moment. Because when you start to grow in the things of God, okay? And you're all growing. And you're going to keep growing until the day you go to be with Jesus or the day that Jesus comes to fetch you. You know what I'm saying? So we want to keep growing. We never want to stop growing. But, you know, there might come a time in your life where things really start to flow good. You know what I'm saying? You know, your prayers really start getting answered, and you got enough money in the bank, and things are just going good all the way around. And then there's that risk. That sin of pride can come in. That it's all me. It's because of my faith. It's because of my doing. Well, see, that's what gets us into trouble. And that's what Jabez, you know, he prayed for blessing and he got it. He prayed for the idea of more influence and he got it. He prayed for presence, you know. But then we need to protect our hearts to make sure we stay humble, okay? So we stay humble so that we can be able to maintain and keep in that blessing. Because if we have too many things, also we can think we can become independent of God. And that's what gets us, you know, really out there in a lot of trouble. And, you know, also we need to pray because for protection for us and our families. Because the more influence that you're doing, the more people that you're influencing for the gospel, Satan hates you. Don't take it personal. He hated Jesus. To be honest, Satan hates you even when you're not doing anything. So you might as well be doing something, amen? You know, he's going to hate you. So, you know, all these things come in there, and that's why we need to pray for protection. There's a lot of scriptures, you know, in the Bible that help with protection. A lot of things in Psalms that you can pray every day. You know, just believe in God, you know, especially over your family. You know, you need to make sure, you know, that we take care of them. Then it says that it may not pain me. You know, I for me, I purposely don't wake up every day and I'm going to go out there and hurt somebody's feelings. But I know I do every now and then. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, sometimes I just say something wrong or do something wrong. Sometimes the devil twists it and turns it so they misunderstand it. That's usually more of it, amen? That's what we'd like to think, right? It was just their misunderstanding. But, you know, that ain't the truth all the time. Sometimes we don't word it right. There's certain things, people, you just don't text. You know what I'm saying? Because they don't get the voice inflection, they can't look you in the eye. You know, hope you've learned all that by now, because you know we can cause a lot of pain to people. And we don't want that label to catch up with us. Remember, you know, Jabez was named pain. You know, he just knew that was going to happen, you know. And, you know, there's a lot of words of death spoken over people. Oh, you're just like your dad, you're just like your mother. I mean, they don't mean it in a kind way. All those words that have been spoken over you, you'll never be nothing. You know, those labels that come, and we need to break those things. And we not let them hold us back. We need that protection that comes from God. So don't let that, you know, don't allow your past to catch up with you. Amen? Keep on moving. Keep on moving. Keep on heading on with God. And, you know, even though I've found that we can get free, I know God can set you free from anything. Anything that's holding you back right now. Anything in your life that causes you to stumble. God can set you free, but I have found this out in my life, that it takes vigilance to maintain freedom. Because what happens is that if we let our guard down and things start to come into our life, it's easy for the enemy to slip one past, you know, and get to our heart. Because the Bible says, guard that heart. You know, don't let that heart get hurt. Don't let that heart, you know, be wounded, because we respond the wrong way when we allow ourselves to be wounded and those things come in there. That's why we need to serve the healer and let him come into our life. So maintain that freedom, because, you know, I've watched a lot of people. I enjoy watching people. I love helping people. But I've watched some people that it seems like, you know, the old ways just seem to keep creeping back into their life. I mean, they get free. You know, we counsel for a little bit. We talk about some things. And say, bless God, and they're all excited about Jesus, and, you know, God's doing this, and, you know, God's doing that, and then a few months later, nothing. What happened? Well, without going into it too deep, their thought life, they didn't control it, and they ended up going back into some of those old ways. And then when them old ways, that old thinking starts coming to, you know, when you start thinking wrong, you start acting wrong. And then all those things start to come in, and then it holds us back. And we don't want to have that happen in our life. That's why we need to keep the new image in front of you. The new image of who you are in Christ and what it is that God has done for you and how much He loves you. Never doubt the love of God and how much that love is for you, because, you know, if we can just understand His love, it starts to melt all the problems away. You know, I found we always head towards what we're looking at, right? I've used this illustration before. I mean, some people can do it really well, but how many drive down the road and then all of a sudden you see out the corner of your eye, you're looking at something over there, and before you know it, you're creeping that way. You head towards what you're looking at. And so that's why we need to keep ourselves focused. Stay connected to the things of God. Stay connected to the fellowship. You know, and this, you know, just saying that this COVID thing and everything that's going on with this, you know, it's some people, obviously blunt, some people have went leaps and bounds. They've taken this battle and they've held on and they've really grown through this. And other people, you know, they've been hurt. They've been hurt because of this. Staying away from fellowship. You know, other believers in their life and different things and how that happens. So, you know, we need to, you know, love each other, but, you know, also understand, you know, what we're going against. And that brings me to the point, the idea that we battle on three fronts, okay? We need protection on three fronts of our life, because that's where it comes. The first one's a spiritual battle. We're going to look at a spiritual, emotional, and physical. Those are the three areas of our life that we have to make sure that we maintain and keep strong. You know, because if we don't, we get in trouble. And it's hard. Because some of you, I know, are surrounded by people that aren't very supportive. I know that. That breaks my heart. You know, I thank God I have somebody in my life that's a support to me. For the most part. Amen? Amen. It's my wife, guys, in case you, yeah, I know you. Yeah. But, you know, she's been a blessing to me, but not everybody can have that blessing in their life. So you need to find ways, find other places, you know, spiritual places to go, okay? Well, the Bible says in the spiritual battle that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, okay? As sure if you believe there's a God, and I hope you do, and I hope you believe that God wants to get to know you, and that's the only way it's possible is through Jesus Christ, no other way. Okay, as sure as you know there's a God, we also have to know there's a devil. And there's a devil out there and how he works, and the scripture really explains some of the things that he does. And I always picture the devil as kind of a puppet master, kind of pulling the strings and in some people's lives sometimes. And he gets in there and we allow him to come in, you know. But that's where he tries to work, and he tries to get us off task. And if he can get us out of walking in the Spirit, because when we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh, right? Because we walk in the Spirit, you know, that means we're walking our spirit and we're following the leading of the Holy Spirit. We're asking the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into all truth, no lies. Amen. There's lies out there. So we want to stay connected to that, so that we can walk free, we can walk in power, we can walk in authority, because we need to be able to set the captives free. Jesus wants to work through His body. We are the church. He's given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. That's what God's called us to do. He's called us to be able to go out and to be able to run over the enemy. And never be afraid, never to walk in fear, always to walk in love, because when we walk in love, we walk in His power. And that's what God wants for us to have. But see, then comes the problem of the emotional battle that sometimes takes its toll. And this is where those mind games start to happen. You know, we all know probably somebody or think of somebody that plays mind games, you know what I'm saying? You know, somebody plays mind games in your life, and, you know, hopefully it's not somebody you're married to, because that could be a long haul, can't it? You know, but those mind games, kind of twisting and turning things and playing, you know, and then it affects our emotions. See, that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to come in to try to get us emotionally off balance, and it causes us to stumble, because there's a battle that is raging right now inside of you, and that battle is control of your soul. You know, you got your spirit wanting to follow after God, and you got the flesh nature, which isn't your physical body totally, but that old nature wanting to pull away because it doesn't want to submit to God. And right caught smack dab in the middle is your soul. You know what I mean? And that soul is kind of the deciding vote, which is your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions, which way you're going to go. And see, that's why the enemy comes into that area of our life and tries us to believe the wrong thing is the right thing, and then we get off base, okay? So that emotional battle. See, if Satan can get us to live totally out of our emotions, he can manipulate our life. And that's what he wants to do. If you look at the New Testament, and I don't want to go into this too deep right now, but I just want to throw this out there. You know, demonic possession, and, you know, I'm not saying you guys are demonically possessed or anything like that, but here's, I want to show a picture of what it does. When the devil would go into people's lives, that spirit would manifest those things in that person's life, okay? You know, spirit of lust, spirit of greed, all these different things. You know, you could see, you know, working in people's lives. Now, you know, without going into all of it, you know, so that's what Satan wants to do. They can entice us and get us to pull us the wrong way. You know, and there's familiar spirits that have tendencies in certain families. You know, and a lot of us, because the way they were, the environmental issues that we're raised in, that causes us to focus and think a certain way. And then there's also the demonic aspect that comes in to try to do that. But I got news for you, and I don't mean this in any braggadocious way, but we never have to be afraid of the devil. Never. Now, that's not a pride statement, that's just a fact. Because greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Oh yes, the devil's going to attack us. The devil's going to try to lie to you. He's going to try to get you to believe the wrong thing. But don't be afraid of that. Because all we got to do is stay in the truth. Because the Bible says the truth will set you free. Simple as that. You know, I've ran into a lot of crazy situations in my, I think I've been saved around 38 years now. And I've ran into some, you know, pretty wacky stuff. And I'll tell you what, God is greater. You know that song we sang, the God of the mountains is the God of the valleys. You know what I'm saying? Because back in those days, you know, if they had a battle, and let's say the battle was up in the mountains, well, you know, that God's only good in the mountains. He's not good anywhere else. Our God is good anywhere. He's good anywhere. He can help us to overcome no matter what we go against. Then lastly is the physical battle. And, you know, the idea of how fatigue can set in and cause us to quit our race. Because I'll be honest, if you have maybe a spiritual attack, which then kind of can weigh on our emotions, you know, if you're emotionally wore down, it affects your physical health, doesn't it? It does. And so we need to make sure that we take care of our temple. Because if fatigue sets in, if we don't take care of our temple, we don't feel like doing anything. We don't feel like praying. Because the Bible says our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. We need to maintain our body. If you're a homeowner, what happens if you don't take care of your house? You know, things really start to fall apart, don't they? You know, so we need to, you know, however you can, you know, facilitate this in your life, whether it be the idea of, you know, being able to eat healthier, you know, go to sleep when you're supposed to. All these things factor in. You know, I think I mentioned this last week. You know, some people don't pray in the morning because they stay up too late at night. You know what I mean? It's just simple arithmetic, you know. You need X amount of hours to sleep, and so you want to spend more time with God because you want more of His presence, but yet you're not willing to maybe go to bed a half hour earlier or an hour earlier, you know? And so then you get into this cycle like a snowball effect, and choo, 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 just keeps going. So you got to step out of the craziness. You know what I mean? Get off that merry-go-round and decide, you know, what is it you want out of life spiritually, as far as your spiritual life? And then as far as the other stuff too in your life too. But I mean, spiritually, where do you want to be in 5 years? Spiritually. What impact do you want to make on this community, you know, this state, this nation, this world? I mean, you don't have to be a pastor or an evangelist or somebody to make an impact. Anybody can. But just have those moments. And, you know, I'll be honest, you know, spending time with God has really turned a lot of things around, you know, in my life. Because I've been through the ebb and the flow. You know, just like there's high tide and there's low tide. You know what I mean? You know, sometimes there's low tide. And, you know, we all go through that. I have. And I think if we're all honest, I think we'd all say that, yeah, I went through some low times. You know, does that mean we quit and throw in the towel? Oh, God won't take me back. He'll take you back. You know, get back to that high tide, you know. Get back to, you know, the things of God that are exciting, and find out what works for you. Now, lastly, I want to talk about the church at war, because we're at war right now. the church, and we have been for a long time, ever since Jesus Christ came and he defeated the devil and he gave the keys to the kingdom to the church, and then he wants the church to go out and make disciples, and he wants the church to make his enemies his footstool. So now we have all these things going on. Now, some people can get afraid if they think they have to do a little stuff like that, but it's really simple because God does it through you, and we're going to look at that a little bit. But like I mentioned earlier, is the idea that we need to go big. We need to think big. You know, I'm not saying that's not big as in greedy, but I'm thinking big as in God. How big is our God? So we need to go big. You know, like I meant, Jabez prayed a prayer worthy of God because he prayed for something that he couldn't do on his own. You know, I don't, you know, just pray totally, you know, that God, you know, I pray that I can, you know, do this little thing. Because I know I can do that without God. I pray that God helps me. But, you know, sometimes I need to pray, God, you know, I want to reach this area, this community for Christ. I want to see people saved because I read the back of the book. You know what I mean? If the people that aren't saved, I know what happens to them. And I don't want that to happen. I want to give them a chance. I want to see them come into the light. So God, you know, and right now I may not think that, you know, I don't have maybe ideas on how I can do that. But see, God does. So that's when I pray, I bring God in. I say, God, you know what's needed. You know what we need to do. Lord, I want to be on your team. I want to be part of your army. I want to be able to follow you. And I pray those prayers. Lord, I pray that we can reach thousands for Christ. And we can with the technology we have right now. You don't even have to leave your room, home, your living room, and you can reach people. It's just amazing times in the church. We need to catch up. But yet we need to do it with a spirit of love, and we're going to look at that a little bit. So I believe that, you know, big, bold prayers, you know, are pleasing to God. You know, God, it pleases him. You know, I loved it when my kids wanted to do something big, you know. They want to do this or do that, you know. I just love that. So I think the church, we need to be on the offense and not the defense. Now, what I mean by that, we don't need to be offensive. Are you listening to me? You know, we need to be careful that we're not offensive or defensive. We need to be on offense and defense. And how this works. So it's just important. Now, we need to be a church that's on fire and not a church that's just under fire all the time. We need to get back on fire. One of the heartbeats inside of me, something that drives me, is I pray for revival. It's just on the front burner of my life all the time. I long for those days because I've read church history. I've studied church history. And I've read just what God can do when God steps into a situation. I mean, it's phenomenal. Until then, I keep doing what I know to do. Keep telling people God loves them and things like this. But I'm praying for the big one, you know what I'm saying? I want to see revival. I want to see God pour out his spirit. You know, and just start to see, you know, big, bold things start to happen in the body of Christ, reaching this world. And we need to be under, not just under fire, but on fire for that. Two things God kind of spoke to me during that 21 days of prayer that we're doing is, don't take this literally because I don't want to do something too crazy. Make sure you can live within your faith level. But live like we have nothing to lose. I used to live like this until I had a family. Then I had responsibility, you know? But when I first started out with Jesus, I lived it like I had nothing to lose. And I want those days again because it was just so exciting to be out there on the front lines as following after Jesus. And whatever that means for you, you know, adapt that into your life. You know, we need to learn how to work without a net sometimes. You know, playing it safe is okay, but, you know, playing it safe is not good all the time. We need to reach out. We need to do things and make sure, you know, that we can start to see that God's glorified. And next is the idea of living desperately. How desperate are we for God? Like I said, there's high tide and there's low tide, right, in our life. Sometimes I'm not as desperate for God. I'm just in, you know, my own little maintenance mode or whatever. But, you know, then there's times I say, oh, man, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I want more. You know, as I go to the kitchen and grab something to eat and something to drink, that wasn't it. You know what I mean? How many has ate something? That wasn't it. You know, it's God. God is just calling you to live desperately for Him, passionately, and to have that. And if we don't have that, just ask Him for it. But to do this, and this is where I'm going to start again into the fur going the wrong way part of my message. Amen? We're going to close with this. Is the idea that we need to deal with distractions. Okay? Have y'all ever been distracted? You know, a lot of bad things can happen when you get distracted. You know, car accidents happen and, you know, miss out on some good things in life. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, I want to read there. I want us to see, and we all know this, we should, that we're all soldiers in the kingdom of God, okay? We're a soldier for Christ. So 2 Timothy 2, verse 4, tells how a soldier should somewhat act. It says, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Like I mentioned, we're in the army of God. And the problem is sometimes, and you know, we like watching a lot of like shows and stuff about, you know, army and stuff like that. Just something we enjoy doing. And you know, you just watch them and just seeing how they learn to adapt and overcome. You know, there's so many spiritual truths in some of that stuff. You know, and the idea of here, but it tells us, you know, the soldier, when he's out there on the battlefield, he can't be distracted by all the other little petty things that are going on around in life. You know what I mean? Because them things will get him killed. He'll get hurt, or he could, you know, somebody else might get hurt. So I want us to kind of remember today that we are at war, and we've been at war for a long time, and that we need to stay focused. You know, we know the one who enlisted us, and that's Jesus Christ, right? Jesus Christ is our commander in chief. And, you know, how I see it, and I'm an American, and I'm glad. You know, I've been in a lot of countries, and this is the best, even with all the issues going on. But my allegiance is to my commander in chief, and that's Jesus Christ. He's number one. You know, I'm a Christian ahead of being an American. I know that might be offensive to some people, but you know, my citizenship is in heaven. And that's really the most important. Now, I still need to be a good citizen in the world I live in, you know, but primarily, you know, I'm a Jesus, into Jesus, you know. I mean, he's my commander because he's eternal. And we need to, you know, I think you need to set priorities in your life. You need to. You know, what's important to you? And you need to, you know, see which one's first. And the sad thing is there's some Christians in the body of Christ now I'm bringing correction to. They've made their Americanism higher than their Christianism. And they've brought a discredit to the body of Christ. And we need to keep our focus. I'm not saying we can't deal with other things, but we can't allow ourselves to get distracted because Satan's greatest tactics are distraction and misdirection. He's been around a long time, and this is what he does. He gets Christians off base. He gets us thinking about the wrong thing or doing things and fighting over here about something that don't really matter about eternity. And then we lose sight of really about the eternal things that's really important to God. And that's what's happened to us. We've allowed these things to happen. You know, last Tuesday morning, I know this won't sound early for Pam, but because she gets up real early. But the Lord woke me up at 4 in the morning. How do you know it was God? Because I know the presence of God. Now, I get up early anyway to do things, but, you know, to be honest, I don't get up at 4 to start praying as for the most part. That's a little early for me yet because then it makes you know what I mean. 4 o'clock in the morning, boom, wide awake. I knew this was God. I mean, I wake up quick anyway, but this is really out there. So I knew God was wanting to tell me something. So me with I'm a genius. I just said, you know, I might just lay here in bed and pray a little bit. So I prayed for a few minutes, and I could tell that wasn't happening. God wasn't letting that happen, you know what I mean? I knew I had to get up, so I dragged myself out of bed, went to my office, and I usually start out by reading the Word. You know, it kind of keeps me focused, so I start with my Bible reading. I read through the Bible every year. I've done it since 1985. I just have a plan that I follow, and it helps me, you know, get a diet of the whole word. If you haven't done it, you ought to maybe start something like that. It's very good. So he woke me up, and he gave me this word, and, you know, it was pretty powerful. Now, God is all-knowing, so God knew what passages I was going to read that day. Okay? And I'm in Exodus right now. I start in Genesis and head on through. I read Old Testament, New Testament. But my passage I was reading that day, all of a sudden when I read it, boom, just whopped me upside the head. Just one little scripture. One little word. Then all of a sudden things started to explode inside of me. And God just revealed some things to me. Stuff I already been thinking about, but it's a lot funner when God does it. You know what I mean? And the scripture was Exodus 14, verse 14. And he was talking here about the children of Israel, and they just come out of slavery, and God was taking them to the promised land, and on one end was a bunch of water, and on the other end was a bunch of army, and they were smack dab in the middle. Could you imagine? These people want to kill them. This thing could drown them, and they're right there with God, who they didn't really know that good yet. You know what I mean? Their only, you know, kind of reference of God was Moses coming in and bringing down plagues. Now, that should have been a clue to them, in my opinion, that God can handle a lot of stuff, you know, when the way God did things, got them out of slavery and was taking them to a new life. But, you know, they didn't understand that yet because they still had that slave mentality. See, they had that old life still inside of them. They hadn't grabbed a hold of new. That's why we need to make sure we do. Well, the passage says, the Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Man, there's a lot of truth there. A lot of truth. Now, here's how it works in life, and you can take this to the bank. Sometimes the Lord will fight for you, and sometimes the Lord will fight through you. Your job is to figure out which is which. And that's where the Holy Ghost comes in. The leading of the Holy Spirit will tell you which situation you're in right now. There's times in passage of Scripture where the people just kind of held back. God did all the fight. And other times, you know, the people had to do the fight and God was fighting through them. And that's just the way it is in life today also. And we need to stay close to the Holy Spirit to understand all that. Now, what we have going on in our world, and this has been going on for a while, and this is what I want to get us from the negative over to the positive, okay? And don't, you know, I make no apologies about this, but, you know, inside our culture, and even in the body of Christ, we have the never-Trumpers, and we have the never-maskers. This is what's going on. Some people are never Trump, some people are never maskers. I know Trump's gone now. We have a different president, so hopefully some of that stuff will die down. But what happens is that I've noticed people wake up every day focusing on what they're against instead of focusing what they're for. And it's made them go off in the wrong thinking and get them into trouble. I'm old enough to know now that presidents come and go, but the King of Kings is here forever. You know what I mean? He's going to reign forever. And we need to stay focused on that, on what the big picture is. You know, as a Christian, our trust is not in the one who sits in the White House. Our trust is in the one who sits on the throne. And I'll tell you, I challenge you to read the New Testament and see what God says about our attitude towards leaders. I don't like it myself. My flesh doesn't. I hate some of it. But his idea on submission and rebellion is pretty clear on what it is that we need to do. Now, I'm not saying we can't resist and things like that, but I'm just saying it's our attitude, and we need to be careful that we don't get into it, because some Christians, you know, need to start putting more faith in the Word of God as they do in the Constitution. Because what's happened is a lot of people, a lot of Christians are saying, well, I have rights, but also, dear sister and brother, you have responsibilities. And if we put Jesus' kingdom ahead of the United States of America, well, then responsibility outweighs rights. And we need to be able to balance that, understand exactly what it is we're supposed to do. You know, because wearing a mask has become a lightning bolt in the body of Christ. And people are fussing and fighting over a silly piece of paper or a cloth, whether we wear them or not. And there's a world out there dying and going to hell. And it's not good. It's not good at all. Because what God showed me, and I think everybody already knew this before, is it's a distraction from the devil. It's got some godly Christians over into the flesh, and they're so mad about that. It's taken them out of the game primarily. I mean, they may be big dogs on Facebook, but they don't have that many followers. You know what I'm saying? They're rubbing so many people the wrong way, they can never witness to that person again. So would you rather lead people to Christ or to have your rights? I've saw silliness where they've said that wearing a mask is like, you know, that's how Hitler tricked the Jews. And I'll be honest, we better stop that nonsense. Because I read what happened to the Jews when they were burned in those camps. And if we're saying wearing a mask is like that, we're wrong. We need to snap out of that stuff. Those two they're not even the same planet. See, the devil has used the virus, and there's a lot bigger battles to face. I mean, free speech and things like that, what could happen to the church, we can see, so we need to be praying about that. We need to be focused on issues like that. And the fact that wearing a mask, you know, to me, if we're willing to rebel against society over a mask, that's a low threshold. That's too low. I'm not saying there ain't room for rebellion, you know, but if you look at the apostles, they would take a beating for Jesus Christ, and they would, you know, do a lot of different things. The only time they rebelled against authority is when they were told they could not preach in the name of Jesus no more. So wearing a mask is not telling you can't preach about Jesus. That's not even in the same league. So we need to really think, and you know, the Holy Spirit can reveal it if I'm off base, I repent. But I don't think I am. I really feel I heard from God on this. You know, we need to, you know, I know primarily it's just a small remnant, but Jesus left the 99 for the one, and that's the ones I'm shooting for today. Those ones that have isolated themselves and made them so they're not a part of the body because they can't wear a mask for 10 minutes. You know what I mean? We just ask that you wear a mask just to get in the building or when you're around other people. When you're sitting in your chair, you can take them off. There's plenty of room. And see, the devil, that's what the devil does. He tries to carve people from the body and takes them the wrong way. So, like I mentioned, you know, I haven't done a teaching on this. I don't know if I will because I don't like it myself. You know, if God wants me to, I will. But, you know, study and submission and, you know, what it means to be submissive and rebellious. I'm not talking about being a wet little puppy, you know, beat around. You know, we still have, you know, some backbone. You know, I saw some people say they pastors need to get a backbone, you know, about this issue. And I just didn't say a word till now. You know, I just thought, well, okay, you know, if that's it, you know. But, you know, we need to walk in love, and we need to see what we can do to make, you know, Jesus' name, you know, glorified. So, the Bible is hard sometimes, but like I said, just be careful. See, I'm old enough to know, and I've earned the right to say some of these things because I've been in the body of Christ. I've made the sacrifices. I've paid the price, and I've prayed the price. I do know this. Do not play that rebellion card too quick. We have that right. But make sure that we are in the responsibility. You know, if they're telling you not to preach about Jesus and, you know, things like this. And to be honest, I mean, I've heard some people say they quit their jobs because they wouldn't let them talk about Jesus. Well, you know, you can still wait till after work. You know what I mean? You can still talk about Jesus. I mean, there's a lot of places, you know. So, you know, don't think, you know, don't get yourself out there where you think more highly of yourself than you need to think. Because I've went through this all, my people. I'm not just pointing no finger. I've had to deal with these emotions and these attitudes and all these things, and I still deal with them. I mean, a year or two ago, I would, you know, I don't want to wear a mask. I think they're silly sometimes, but they do help, I believe. But I know it helps other people. And I know it's an idea that I don't want to get a rebellious attitude, because when you get into rebellion, you open the door for the devil, and I guarantee that in my life. If we get rebellious, I mean, Satan rebelled against God, and it got him cast down from heaven. And any time there was rebellion in the Old Testament, and we see some in the New Testament, just a few illustrations, where they rebelled against authority, wouldn't listen to the man or woman of God, and then that opened the door for the devil in their life, and we don't want that. So one of the problems that we face, that if we look long enough on the internet, we're going to find an opinion to justify our wrong thinking. And that's a fact. There's a lot of stuff out there. And we all, you know, I mean, how many's looked hard to prove their point? Am I the only one? Maybe you thought a certain way and you Google and, man, I went page 3 or 4 before I found somebody that really agreed with me. No, that's the flesh. That's when we get into the flesh. We, you know, we're trying to find and things to justify ourselves. And that's dangerous. I love everybody. I'm not mad at nobody about this. You know, hopefully they'll receive it in a spirit of love. So, you know, we need to make sure that we don't let, as a Christian soldier, something take us out of the fight. You know, I get a lot of emails. I just received one in the last month, and it talked about what's going on. You know, we have Christians that won't go to church because you have to wear a mask, okay? Well, let me tell you what's happening in China. You know, where the Chinese virus started. You know, they've been persecuting Christians for years. Matter of fact, they set up facial recognition cameras inside church buildings so they can track and watch every Christian there. I don't know if they do it with the iris, if people wearing masks or whatever the case is. And I'll be honest, people, there's a lot of Christians all around this planet that cannot worship Jesus because, you know, the enemy has made it. They live under Islamic regimes or things like this, and where they're being put to death for their faith. Christians are being killed every day for their faith. They would long to be able to go to church if all they had to do was put a mask on their face. They would long for that day. They're being persecuted, and their lives are being destroyed. You know, we will always answer to God if we play the rebellion card, so make sure we don't do that. You know, here's what I think, and this is really going to get a little more pointed. I'm guessing, just by what I read and what I hear, that the people who are never maskers feel that they have more faith than the pro-maskers. That's just the intent or the spirit that they show. To me, it's not about fear, but it's about respect. But, you know, if you are a never masker listening today and you haven't turned it off yet, amen, you know, I want you to consider two scriptures here. Both of them found in Romans chapter 14 and then Romans chapter 15, both in verse 1. This is the NIV translation. It says, "Except the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters, okay? You know, don't, you know, if somebody feels they have more faith than somebody else, God commands us here that we're to take the weaker brother or sister in consideration and be more loving and helping to them. Also in chapter 15, it says, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not just please ourselves," okay? We could go on this all day. You know, God deals with this point blank. So what this is to me is I call it a word bomb. Every now and then the Lord drops a word bomb on us. You know what I mean? In my life, he does it to me, boom, it's kind of scorched earth, a scorched soul. Makes me try to, you know, God's trying to show me I need to be thinking differently. And so, you know, when I was reading that scripture in Exodus 14:14, that Tuesday morning, the first thing that jumped out of my mouth was, shut up, fall in line, and march. That's what the Lord spoke to me. Shut up, fall in line, and march. We are soldiers in the body of Christ. And we need to be going out. Oh my, going a little longer here today. But God is doing some, you know, good things. So we need to, you know, Christianity usually ends up in one ditch or the other, okay? Most people try to stay on the road, at least we should. You know, back in my early days, I spent a lot of time in the ditches, so I have a lot of experience with this, okay? You know, but a lot of times some people gets in this ditch, then they what happens? You overcorrect and, boom, you go across the road, now you're in the other ditch. You know, we need to make sure that we do that. We need to stay out of those ditches, you know, because we can't soar like an eagle if we're thinking like Chicken Little all the time, okay? You know, we need to be an eagle. You know, we need to start being a voice instead of an echo to the world and stop living out of our flesh and start living out of our spirit. Lastly, I want to share the next word the Lord gave me was shields up and swords drawn, okay? If we're going to go through some of these things, especially that we don't want to be doing, we need to keep that shield up because it quenches them fiery darts at the enemy, the Satan, the lies that the Satan's going to speak to us and lies that he's going to speak through other people. And we need to guard, you know, we have the armor of God, but why let the arrow through if you got the shield? You know, that's what the shield of faith is. Hold those things up. And then we'd have our swords drawn because we don't know if God's going to fight for us or God's going to fight through us, but we got to be ready, people. Amen. We got to be ready to go and set the captives free. So we need to be praying big, bold prayers to our Father. We need to be asking for more blessing, more influence, more presence, and more protection for our lives. And God will give it to us in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Let's close in prayer.